Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're getting into something really fascinating, the divinatory side of Japanese Hanafuda cards. Now, you might already know Hanafuda, those really beautiful little Japanese decks, 48 cards, 12 suits for the months, lovely pictures of plants, animals, and yeah, they're famous for games. Koi Koi is probably the best known. But today, we're diving into how people use them for fortune telling, a unique kind of cardomancy, really.
Exactly. And that's our mission for you today, listener. We're going to unpack how this is, well, deeply rooted in Japanese culture, but also surprisingly modern and flexible. It's not like a lot of other card systems out there.
Okay, so where do they even begin? The origins are kind of unexpected, right? They actually go back to the 16th century. Portuguese traders brought playing cards, karuta, to Japan. But then the government, the Tokugawa shogunate, kept banning gambling. So manufacturers had to get creative.
Right. They kept changing the designs, making them more abstract, harder to recognize purely as gambling tools, just to, you know, get around the rules.
And that constant adaptation eventually led to the Hanafuda designs we see now. And get this, Nintendo. Nintendo actually started out making these Hanafuda cards way back when.
It's true. It shows how mainstream they were. But what's really fascinating, I think, is the symbolism packed into those designs. They aren't just decorative flourishes. They're dense with references to Japanese nature, waka poetry, local folklore.
Mm-hmm. Can you give an example?
Sure. Think about the February cards.
Okay.
You often see a plum blossom and a nightingale, an ugisu. In Japanese culture, that pairing symbolizes an ideal combination, sometimes even a happy marriage. It's a well-known poetic trope. Or take the November willow card. That's linked to a famous story about a calligrapher, Onono Tofu.
Oh, the frog story.
That's the one. He saw a frog trying over and over again to jump onto a willow branch and finally succeeding. It inspired him to persevere with his own calligraphy studies. So the willow carries that weight of perseverance. And this cultural depth, this connection to nature and spirit, it wasn't just symbolic. There's evidence Hanafuda were used ritually, too.
That's so.
Well, sometimes during festivals, people apparently use them as talismans to ward off on, you know, demons or evil spirits, like invoking the protective power of nature shown on the cards.
Interesting. So they had this kind of magical association even before modern fortune telling really took off.
Exactly. It shows the potential was sort of recognized, this connection to something beyond the everyday game.
Okay, so let's jump to today's divination practice. You mentioned it's not like tarot, which has these, you know, established centuries-old rules and meanings. So that raises a big question, right? If it's not ancient in that way, how did people start reading with them? How does it even work? Is it just pure intuition?
That's a great question. And yeah, intuition plays a huge role. Hanafuda divination, as we see it now, is, relatively speaking, quite young. It's very intuitive, and it's still evolving. You see it shaped a lot by online communities, YouTube channels, blogs, and individual practitioners, masters who develop their own systems, their own guidebooks.
Ah, okay. So it's not one single tradition.
Not at all. It's very eclectic. People often mix it with other tools like oracle cards or even tarot sometimes. It's flexible.
So reading them must be tricky then. You've got the month, the plant, maybe an animal. And then there are the game values too, right? Like Hikari cards, the brights, and Kasu, the dregs.
Exactly. There are multiple layers. And here's maybe the most surprising part, connecting to what you said about flexibility. The meanings for the same card can be completely opposite, depending on the source or the reader.
Right. Opposite.
Diametrically opposite sometimes. That February plum card we talked about. Some sources say good news. Others might interpret it as an unhappy future in certain contexts.
Wow, how does that even work? Isn't that confusing?
Yeah. It can seem confusing if you're expecting a system like tarot with more fixed meanings. But in Hanafuda divination, this isn't seen as an error. It's actually a key feature. It highlights that the system relies much more on the reader's interpretation, their intuition, the specific context of the question, and their understanding of the cultural allusions. It's less about a fixed book meaning.
So the reader has more authorship, I guess.
Precisely. It empowers the reader. It's about weaving a narrative from the cultural symbols and your intuition, rather than just looking up a definition.
And how do people actually read them? Like the spreads?
Often the spreads are quite simple. You know, maybe a three-card pull for past, present, future, things like that. But the real skill is in combining the cards. You read them together, almost like words forming a sentence, to build a story, which actually borrows from how you make winning combinations, the yaku, in the Hanafuda games themselves.
Ah, that makes sense. Linking it back to the game logic.
Yeah. So ultimately, you can't really call Hanafuda divination just Japanese tarot. It's doing its own thing. It occupies this really unique space, blending deep cultural symbolism from its history with the kind of flexibility you see in modern oracle systems. It's like a living cultural artifact constantly being reinterpreted.
What a fascinating evolution. From Portuguese cards, dodging gambling bans, soaking up all that Japanese symbolism and folklore, to becoming this modern, really adaptable way of seeking insight shaped by individuals and online communities today. It's quite something.
It really is. And this deep dive, I think, really shows us how ancient symbols aren't static. They can be picked up, reimagined, and adapted to create entirely new and deeply personal ways of finding meaning in our modern world.
A great point to end on. We definitely encourage you, listener, to maybe look up some Hanafuda card designs online. They are truly beautiful works of art in their own right.